We're now joined by tonight's winner of the 20th annual UNOH 200, Kyle Busch, his 49th victory in 140 NASCAR Camping World Truck Series races, his third win of 2017. This is also his fifth victory and eighth top 10 in 11 truck races at Bristol. Kyle, talk about your latest victory here.
It was good. You know, certainly was, one for our memory bank anyways. But, you know, it was nice to score a victory and not tear our stuff up after winning in the last two races in the first two stages and then screwing up in the final stage, not being able to get to victory lane with the 51 bunch. So that's been frustrating, and thought we did the same thing here tonight. But, you know, fortunately we were able to stay out of any sort of trouble there in the third stage in the final laps and get ourselves a victory like we thought we could. And we had a truck fast enough to do it, and driving through the field there was pretty fun but also pretty challenging in the same respect. I thought once I got close there I started to slow down a little bit and wasn't sure if I had enough tire to get by those guys, and then traffic kind of helped me out. So, you know, from there it was just about biding your time and seeing what was going to happen to the end. And obviously we got that lucky caution there at the end in order to have to do it all over again on a restart, but it all worked, so we'll take it.
We're also joined by the crew chief of the number 46 Banfield Pet Hospital Toyota, Cody Glick. Cody, sounded like Kyle's pretty happy with the setup as you guys came in here. Can you talk about the truck that you provide tonight?
Yeah, right off the truck, it was pretty good. We made a lot of small changes through practice and just found a little bit more speed, but all in all, it was pretty good right off the truck. Just pleased.
Open to questions for Kyle and Cody. Bob in the front, and then we'll go to Kenny.
Bob Packers, ESPN. Kyle, was there much impact from the VHT or PJ1 that they had put down? And did you think you'd be able to drive through the field after the penalty, considering many people thought it was going to be a one-groove racetrack tonight?
Yeah, once I got back there, you know, nobody had run that high yet. Nobody had run in the grind in order to try to make up any time. So I knew it was going to take me a few laps to kind of break it in or wear it in, if you will. And seemed like it took about 10, 12 laps for it to get going. But once the top kind of got rolling there a little bit, somebody else must have been up there doing – helping me groom it in a little bit, because I saw other tire tracks besides mine. So the outside kind of came in, and it just lended me another groove to race in other than having to run in the bottom where everybody else was. So I was able to pick off spots, and seemed like the two grooves were pretty even when you were in clean air. But anytime you were in dirty air and you were following somebody, you just had to kind of go wherever the heck they weren't. So that was what it all boiled down to at the end. And when I saw that window open with those guys with that lap truck and they opened up the bottom, I just took it and tried to get through there when I got by the 21, and then was able to get the 88 when he got back to the bottom, and I was able to roll the top. It seemed like him rolling the bottom was just a tick slower, but overall I think our truck was a little better all night long, and so comparison to bottom groove to top groove, I felt like the lap times were really similar.
Was there more grip on the bottom still?
The grip was definitely there earlier in the race, but it wasn't very good there at the end. I take that back. I mean, the last restart of the race, we ran the bottom, and it was fast, you know. But I think the thing about it is just when you get in traffic and you run 30 straight laps and you have tire heat and air pressure builds, you have to move around. You know, it just kind of depends on what's going on in front of you or around you.
Kenny Bruce, NASCAR.com. Kyle, do you drive any differently, any harder when you seem to be angry with the call?
Yeah, I guess I was tonight. You know, certainly I knew that they weren't picking on me. But, you know, it was 35-01. So it was right there, right on the limit. And was frustrating for sure, and we were able to overcome it. But seems like sometimes, you know, when you hear about all the other things that kind of go on through the tech line and everything else, it gets a little aggravating sometimes when you feel like you're picked on.
Matt Weaver, AutoWeek.com. The first question I have too is for Cody. Your first ever NASCAR National Touring victory. How cool is that?
It's pretty special, honestly. It's my fourth year at KBM, and they gave me the opportunity this year to do the Super Late Model program and do four truck races, so it's pretty special.
Yeah, and how much of that Super Late Model program or people are involved with this one-off effort?
My whole team. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all my guys.
And for Kyle, When you guys spoke with NASCAR earlier this month about the spec motor and the future direction, and you had your input, what was kind of your standpoint? Because I know that you've had opinions about how you feel like Toyota needs to be represented in some way or form. So what did you tell NASCAR?
I wasn't in those meetings. But honestly, Rudy, was really the main guy who just came up with a list of questions about how this was going to be policed, how it was going to work, and what all was going to happen. And there's just, I mean, literally the sheet, I think, was 58 questions long. And so he did a really thorough job of trying to figure out every way around it and trying to get some answers. I don't know that our stance is we're going to help whatever we can. Kyle Busch Motorsports' stance is we will help with whatever we can in order to limit costs within the truck series. But we're going to do it through the value and the relationship that we have with our partner of Toyota. So if Toyota is not going to support a spec engine, we're going to run a standard engine until it's mandatory that there's a spec engine, and then we're going to lose our factory support that helps support some of our engine costs and whatnot. So, you know, our cost to race will essentially go up because we'll lose factory support. But overall, it's a business, and we all try to survive and do what we can. And hopefully it'll lend itself to more trucks being in the field, and if not, then it's a hashtag epic fail. Thank you.
Any other questions for Cody or Kyle? Gentlemen, thank you.
All right, no problem. Thanks.